The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Hi, Dr. Ray, how are you?
I'm sure I'm going to get really good advice from you.
Why do I have to be the insightful professional?
You just patted yourself on the back.
I'm losing you, buddy. I don't know what you're trying to say.
You're just so great. I love your show.
Am I close?
No.
Does that comfort you?
No.
I'm sorry, and I'm going to confess it, because I'm a holy guy.
I'm a little intimidated to talk to you because you used a lot of big words.
You know, I was looking for a deeper answer.
You came to the wrong place. You came to the wrong place if you're looking for deep answers.
Now, from the studios of Living Bread Radio Network in Canton, Ohio, the hometown of Mother Angelica, here's Dr. Ray.
Well, he went off the air, so we're looking for a new guarantee. The Springer Guarantee pretty much dominated this program for its first 7, 8, 9 years, which is you listen to any segment of this program, we guarantee that your children, your grandchildren, and great-grandchildren will never be on Jerry Springer. Although we did have a caller say that her son was in the audience on Jerry Springer. Well, he's not on anymore. So I don't know what kind of guarantee we're going to have on that. We'll think of something. There's plenty of sludge shows on TV that we would want to guarantee that your children and your progeny going down a few more generations would not be on. I'm Dr. Ray Guarendi. Thanks for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. Okay, I got a little sidelight here. I got to ask, he's on the phone. Is Dan in there? Dan, can you speak to me on my headphones? What's this about Oregon? They passed the law, or they're considering passing the law? They're gone. You know anything about this, Andrew? Nope. All right. Well, I'll get more details on this. Supposedly, Oregon passed the law to let middle school kids have mental health days. I'll comment on that momentarily. The program is The Doctor Is In. Andrew Krucek is back at the boards. He is a board operator. And I said, Andrew, why is that the name? You're board operator. He said, because you're not very interesting. And I said, is that how you spell it? He goes, it doesn't matter. And then, of course, Eric Dumont is on the line. Lines 877-573-7825. 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program if you wish to get on to the program and talk to Eric. He'll talk to you. He'll keep you on the phone for as long as you want. And then if he feels he can't handle the situation, he'll refer you to me. So I basically, he is the shark, I am the remora. He gets the first bite at the call. And okay, thanks, Andrew. That's wild. July 1, huh? That's interesting. I was not going to do that as a monologue today. Okay. Well, maybe I will. 877-573-7825. That's the number to get onto the program. I'm Dr. Ray. Program Doctor Is In. All right, let me see this. Andrew put this up for me here. That just blew my monologue out of the water, and I had a good one, too. Let's see what this is here. All right, on July 1, let's see if I could get this. A law in Oregon went into effect giving students 5 mental health days in a 3-month period. Well, if you figure school's 9 months, that's 15 mental health days. Okay. 2018, Utah changed the definition of a student's, quote, valid excuse to miss a day to include an illness, quote, which may be mental or physical. According to a recent study, teenagers named depression as a problem among their peers. Others blamed anxiety on politics or climate change. Isn't it interesting? The schools are hammering away the controversial scientific evidence on climate change, and then they're turning around and say, well, we got to give them some days off because they're getting really nervous about climate change. In Oregon, now this comes as a shock here, the bill was supported by several teenagers. Whoa, that's a surprise. One recent graduate told the Associated Press that the bill was inspired by politically active students and that she and her peers wanted to address mental health issues in the schools. Let's see, who else is this? Where I don't know who that person is. Okay. The girl who said the bill was inspired said that some parents had opposed the bill, raising concerns that students, they wouldn't do this. Come on. Kids aren't going to do this. I'm just really upset and frustrated that anybody would think that a kid would do this. What a slanderous remark. Some children would take mental health days by pretending to be sick. No, get out. Other parents cited a real need for the days. All right, let me comment. One of the ideas that so often dominates our culture is a misunderstanding of fallen human nature. That's what the Christians refer to it as. Although there are secular psychologists, like, for example, Albert Ellis, who said that the human being is basically irrational. It's wired into us to be irrational, because self-interest is short-term, and it oftentimes is irrational. And Ellis was an atheist. But he recognized that bent, as have others. So, given that, it makes perfect sense that some kids would say, I got anxiety today, I don't want to go in. Now, is that all of them? No, of course not. I believe, if you look at the stats, that we are raising a higher and higher proportion of distressed children, unhappy children, miserable children. There's a lot of reasons for this. I mean, we could talk forever. Kicking God out of the culture, breaking up families, the vile media, TV, movies, social media, internet, cell phones. I mean, you could go on and on and on and on. So the result is an awful lot of distressed, disturbed, unhappy children. I can't tell you how many parents come to my office saying their 13, 14, 15, 16-year-old has been diagnosed depressed. And oftentimes it is not clinical depression. It is discontent, unhappiness. Why? Well, because the kid isn't getting to do everything they want to do. And the parents are sometimes trying to put limits on them, however fragile and feeble, and that happens. So the culture, as it continues to do things that are making more and more young people miserable, then turns around and says, oh, well, we better acknowledge their misery and let's let them have days off. Now, here's my prediction. 2, 3, 4 years from now, that is going to be rescinded. Because they are going to find that the average kid, distressed or not, depressed or not, is going to misuse it. It's going to happen. But there are children who need mental health days. Here's the problem with that. If anybody is in a situation where they are struggling with their emotions to a degree that they think they can't function day to day, and for a kid, day to day is going to school, you retreat from school, you generally don't feel better. You resist school even more. When I worked in the schools many years ago, routinely we would get kids who had quote-unquote school phobia. They didn't have school phobia. 90% of the time it was school resistance. They didn't want to go. And they usually faked illness. Or they got themselves upset enough that they did have stomach problems, which is, we used to call them belly achers. Because that is the number one place, especially for adolescent girls in those times, that they couldn't go to school. Or headaches. Now, I'm not saying they were all faked. I'm saying a lot of times they were brought on by this lack of desire, this resistance towards going to school. As the kids stayed away from school to, quote-unquote, recoup and to get a break and then to re-energize and return to school, they didn't. The longer they stayed away, the worse it got. So this is going to be an unintended effect of this. I wonder where, I don't know who they talked to in crafting this bill. Did they talk to psychologists? I don't know. School psychologists? Did they ask? Did they say, well, will this work if a child needs a mental health day, as they're convinced they do, will it serve them well? At the end of the day, will they say, okay, I'm ready to go back to school tomorrow? Or would the unintended effect be, I'm even less wanting to go to school now, especially given there is a whole lot of other distractions at home for your average 13-year-old. Computer, internet, video games, smartphones, all kinds of stuff. My prediction is this is definitely going to be rethought in a couple of years as they see, oops, here's part of the problem too. They're not even saying we got to get a mental health person or a doctor, at least that's not what they're saying here in this summary of the bill, to give this kind of permission. It looks as though all the kid has to do is declare it. Those of you with children, those of you with adolescent children, are you confident that your 13, 14-year-old kid could decide for himself whether he is in the state of mind or mood to go to school? This is invariably what happens when a culture is unraveling in all of the ways that used to create people who could navigate life. As the guidelines, the moral guideposts, the stable families, the cultural supervision of the sewage that it's pouring into our airwaves and our internet, as that is all just decaying, the byproduct is going to be a lot more distressed individuals. A whole lot more distressed individuals. Rather than looking at the causes at the root, we come up with interventions that are designed or intended to correct the problem, at least somewhat. And then when the problem isn't corrected, which oftentimes it isn't, we say, what's going on? Why isn't this happening? Well, that was a monologue changed at the last moment. 877-573-7825,
877-57-EQUAL.
I'm Dr. Ray.
Brigadier, I think our past is catching up on us. Or maybe it's our future. Come on, run!
Don't let everyone else get all the great advice. Call now to speak with Dr. Ray.
Celebrate those who choose a higher calling. Play in the Bishop's Golf Classic for seminary and education at Hawk Hollow and Eagle Eye in Lansing. Support the young men who choose to answer the Lord's call and become the next generation of priests serving your diocese. Get your foursome together and go to dioceseoflansing.org to register to play August 19th on Michigan's premier courses. You'll help ensure the heart of the Catholic Church as we tee up for seminary and education. Go to dioceseoflansing.org today.
Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomio here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com.
Solidarity HealthShare began out of the Christian tradition of neighbor helping neighbor. They're a nonprofit medical cost-sharing ministry in which their members share in each other's eligible medical expenses. Solidarity HealthShare is not insurance, but rather an alternative way to pay for medical costs that adheres to the teachings of the Catholic Church. They'll never share in a medical care that goes against their values and morals, such as abortion, contraception, and sterilization. More information available at SolidarityHealthShare.org or at 844-313-4999.
music there. There it is. Just a little bit of drum. Dr. Ray Guarendi. Daddy. Psychologist. My kids' orthodontist's summer home payments. You ever notice that? Every kid in the world no longer has right teeth. Now, as a kid growing up, all kinds of people. If you look at people on TV that are older, 60s, 70s, and you pay close attention, a lot of them definitely could have used brace work when they were younger, but they didn't get it because in those days you didn't. Now, oh man, every kid in the world, it's like a passage. Okay, let's see where we're going to go. Helena, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Helena, I hope, from Massachusetts. Hi, Helena.
Hi, Dr. Ray.
Thanks for the call.
Well, I appreciate you being there for me. We have a son who's going to be 24 next week, and we have guardianship, and now we're looking to get him moved out. And so my husband's worried about relinquishing that guardianship as well as the finances. And we're in Massachusetts, so I don't know what do you think?
Why do you want to relinquish guardianship? Because you can't control him?
He's just very, outside the house, he's an angel. Inside the house, he's a devil.
Is he living with you?
Yes.
You can't control him. You can't control him in your house.
No.
But you got guardianship, so he was declared incompetent by the court.
Correct.
When? At age 18?
Yes. I wanted to keep him into school. I wanted to, basically the school system was saying, well, you don't have to go to school anymore. You don't have to go anymore. And then that's when I said to my husband, we got to get him guardianship so he could stay under 22.
What was the diagnosis that enabled
you? He's got cerebellofacial syndrome, which is a long term for, it's a syndrome. So for him,
genetic.
He's an intellectual disability. It's a genetic.
Yes, it's
but
a genetic
neither
problem.
On my husband or my side, no.
What is the developmental disability, if you can just give me a rough IQ?
His IQ is in the fourth grade range, and his math is at a first grade range.
So yeah. His IQ is down around 60, 55, 60.
Yes.
Is that about right? Okay.
Yeah.
So given all that, you got him declared developmentally disabled, and did that happen? Mm-hmm. You had to have that declared before age 22.
I did. We did.
Okay. All right.
But now the school
tested him, right?
Yes.
When he was in school. Okay. So the question is,
what do we do with a child who needs to get out on his own and get his own place, and then do we relinquish this guardianship? And who do we?
You have to go through the court. You send a letter to the court.
Right. So. Mm-hmm.
And you say, we would like to inform the court that we are relinquishing guardianship. The court will probably seek to find another guardian. And there are agencies that do that. We're going through that right now with my daughter. I relinquished it back in February. We still haven't gotten her another guardian because they can't find one.
Did you have a hard time with that? Did you have a hard time with that, giving up that?
No. I decided. She's 23. I've decided I can't control her.
That. I need to get over that because that's my hard time is getting up over that. But
well, your harder time is going to be getting over your guilt of getting this child out somewhere on his own.
Yeah.
Does he get Social Security, supplemental Social Security?
We haven't, Dr. Ray. We've supported him right through. So
he's probably
eligible.
Yeah, sure he is.
Of course he's eligible. But my husband and I just thought we're going to take care of this kid. But the older he gets, obviously, it's not working. Yeah.
Well, here's several things you got to look into. You got to get a caseworker. You can get it through your MRDD program easily enough.
I called them yesterday. Yep.
Get a caseworker. The caseworker knows and will help you with all that's available. Housing. Going through the Social Security gamut, all of that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, you decide. And my daughter was in several group homes, all of which didn't work out, and so she's now living in an apartment on her own. And she gets so much a month Social Security, and apparently she's making that work. So at this point, whatever control I had over her life and her decisions is pretty much gone. I can't do anything about
it. That's where I'm having a hard time. I'm having a hard time.
I know my
husband is, too, but he doesn't say too much. But
Yeah, you can't. Uh-huh. So your big deal is the guilt. And that's, but you have to understand that at this point, you can explore your options to see what you can do to get this kid on his own two feet, recognizing that living with you, he makes it very, very ugly, and you no longer can control him. So you talk to the caseworker. You tell that person, hey, we need help here. They're familiar with this. They know a lot of times with developmental disability situations, there are also behavior problems. And as the kid gets bigger and older, they just become very unmanageable. All righty. So there you go, dear.
Well, I'm glad. I know you you've had your own, so I understand. But financially, though, does it relinquish his financial? Like, do we have to pay?
No.
Is that
whatever he gets, he gets. The fact that you're a guardian.
No, but what my husband has put away for him.
Well, you can use that money however you wish. You can set him up for 6 months in his own apartment, saying, "Hey, we got 6 months."
Yeah. Okay. All right.
I don't think. No, you're allowed to have so much with Social Security before they finally start taking the money back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Dr.
All right,
sweetie. I listen to you all the time. Thank you.
Bless you. Thanks, honey. Kathy, real quick, Cleveland, Ohio, comment about this mental health day that the kids are saying, oh, gosh, I can't. Hi, Kathy.
Hello, Dr. Ray.
Well, you're wondering about something. What is that, dear?
Well, when these children in these states that allow them 5 per quarter of mental health days, when and if they do go out into the work environment, how do they deal with this?
Your
employers are not going to give you 5 or 15 mental health days a year.
The bigger problem, Kathy, is the mentality. In other words, if my mentality, legitimate or not, is that I can't cope with life, therefore, I need to retreat from responsibilities to cope with life. That mindset is what's going to be the problem. The fact that the states are giving them 5 days every 3 months is just icing on top of the cake. Because any kid or any parent who says, I'm not going, and they don't have to go, the odds are higher that parent and that kid are not living life as well as they could anyway. There's the problem. It's more of a reflection upon the way they're being raised or living life than it is, oh, well, gee, I'm a very put-together, well-wrapped, mature, responsible kid, and I got 5 days off every 3 months. All righty, well, I'll take advantage of that, and then 6 years from now I won't be able to hold a job because I want days off. That's not likely. What's likely is the overall attitude.
And as opposed to giving, and you know, I think you sort of made the point, as opposed to giving them the days off, there needs to be giving them the skills to cope with the issues they cannot handle.
Sure. Our culture, anyway, has had many, many ingredients in raising people well. And so much of those things are now just unraveling. Very much so. If you look at the stats for people over 60 regarding marriages, regarding religion, regarding income, regarding financial responsibility, all of that, and then you compare that to the stats for people under 30, even if you take into account the maturity factor that's supposed to kick in with time, you've got some radical differences across generations. Radical. 877-573-7825, 877-57-EQUAL is the number to call to get onto the program. You'll talk to Eric. Then, if he considers you worthy, you'll talk to me. I don't have to consider you worthy. I am just open. He's tougher.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, the Catholic Biblical School of Michigan, bringing the Bible to life. New classes are starting this September in parishes across Michigan, and online class is also available. Find out more by visiting the Catholic Biblical Schools Michigan online at cbsmich.org. If you have a message you want to share, be a day sponsor at 877-288-1077.
Are you tired of investing in the culture of death? Would you like your investments to be in line with the Catholic Church? Would you like an advisor who is a fiduciary and who understands retirement issues while sharing and respecting your Catholic beliefs? Contact Joseph Vitale at American Retirement Advisors at 855-756-5700. Helping you preserve your retirement while preserving your beliefs and values. Call Joe at 855-756-5700.
This is Father Frank Pavone of Priests for Life. Abortion advocates want more than to keep Roe v. Wade intact. They want to establish an international right to abortion, overriding the decisions of individual nations to protect preborn children. But as usual, these people have it completely wrong. The international right that has to be proclaimed and protected is the right to life. After the horrors of the Second World War, people around the world realized that there was a need for an international body to acknowledge and protect basic human rights in case individual nations fail to do so. This led to the development of the United Nations. The UN Charter states that its purpose is, quote, to reaffirm faith in fundamental human rights in the dignity and worth of the human person, end quote. Let's apply this to the unborn. This is Father Frank Pavone on Ave Maria Radio.
It's your chance to be a star, your big debut. I had to scratch and claw my way to the top of Catholic media pyramid. Took me years stumbling and falling. All you guys have to do is call. You know, this is kind of media socialism. I'm the one who has worked hard to get where I am, to get on the radio, and all you have to do is call. This ain't right. All right. Cindy from Bismarck, North Dakota. Bismarck's just about now entering winter, I think. Probably. Temperature at night is going to drop down to about 40. By next week, it'll be down to 30. And by August 15th, they'll have snow. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Dr. Ray. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Dr. Ray, I have a question for you. Actually, requesting your comments. How does one find contentment in the everyday?
Kind of pay attention. Routine? Pay attention.
All right.
We don't pay attention. You walk outside, Cindy, and you see those clouds, big puffy white clouds. They have clouds in Bismarck, don't they?
We do.
Okay. Because I can't see that far. You know, I can only just see maybe a couple miles, and I can't really see Bismarck from where I am. You look at those clouds, and what do you think? You just look up, and you see clouds. But what if you thought, dear Lord, thank you that I can see those clouds. Wow. Those clouds are beautiful. Man, thank you for those clouds. Is that pretty or what? Look at that sky. Why is the sky so blue? It's just, you got to pay attention. If you're walking to your car and you notice that you're walking with no pain. I'll go through the airport and the people in front of me, a lot of them have canes. A lot of them are limping. A lot of them are kind of riding because they have to. And I think to myself, wow, I can just walk with no pain. I can walk briskly. What a blessing that is. And as you get good at just paying attention to everything, like right now I'm sitting in this studio, okay? And I got a little pop sitting off there to the side, and I had some pretzels when I came in, and I stopped before I came here and I bought some snack. Well, I have money to buy a snack. I have money to go into a store that is filled with shelves and shelves and shelves and stuff. It's hundreds and hundreds of yards of food, which is way beyond anything kings and wealthy could ever imagine in human history. And it's pretty much way beyond what most people can imagine even now. And I pay attention to that. And I go, I say to God, I say, wow, look at this. Thank you that you've placed me here to be able to have the privilege of this. You got to pay attention, Cindy. If you don't pay attention, you know what happens? You get caught up in your own emotions. You get caught up in what went wrong that day. You get caught up in how somebody dissed you. You get caught up in a frustration. I go outside, and I drive this fantastic, and this is a babe magnet. This really is. 2002 Brown Buick LeSabre. Now, there ain't no girl in the whole world that looks at a 2002 Buick LeSabre and says, what a ride. That guy must be cool. Not at all. I like that car. It's a nice car. You know, it's great. It gets me where I want to go. It runs, and it's kind of nice. I can wax it. Doesn't have rust. It's cool. I bought it off of a 91-year-old lady. 51,000 miles on this baby. I jumped all over it. So I'm grateful for that car. Every morning I walk out, I see that car. I go, hey, thank you, Lord. Nice car. You got to pay attention. If you don't pay attention, you get caught up in your own self. That's my thoughts, dear.
All right.
And I thank you for calling because I am grateful for that. I'm grateful for all the girls that are calling me on these shows. That's right. Never had girls call me in college. Ever. My roommate, Biff, he had all the girls calling him. Thanks, Cindy. You be well, dear. Hopefully, thanks, I get out to Bismarck sometime soon. I've been there a couple times, but it's been a while. Tell the folks up there. That's Real Presence Radio up there, right?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay. All right. Well, tell them, hey, it's been a long time since I've been up there. Those people got to be floundering psychologically by now. Thank you, dear. See ya.
Thanks, Dr. A. Okay.
Kathy from Columbus, Ohio, is a middle school teacher. And she deals with, in my experience, the worst kind of kids that you can deal with. And I agree with you, Kathy. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Dr. A.
Thank you for the call.
Thank you for taking my call.
What's your comment and observation there, dear?
Well, I met you back when you were in Newark, Ohio, a few months ago. And you said that I was brilliant because I agreed with everything that you said. But my problem is the parents I work with, they don't agree with you.
All of them?
And, well, no, not all of them. Not all of them, certainly. But it used to be 30 years ago when I started teaching that I'd have, you know, that one kid. Now it's more than that. Let's just go with that. And I'm a special ed middle school teacher, by the way. So I have the anxiety kids and the behavioral kids and those kind of kids. And then I have some other kids as well. But when I try to discipline them or I try to teach them how to behave, I'm the bad person. And at some point in the school year, usually around March or so, I'm like, you know what? I've only got to deal with you another couple months, but your parents are going to have to deal with you for the rest of their lives, and I'm exhausted. And I'm looking at starting a new school year here, and I was just wondering if you had any advice. How do I deal with the parents who don't want their kids to really behave?
I got an idea. You came to the right place.
Good.
I used to work in, consulted to 10 or 11 school districts. All the special ed programs, the behavior problem programs, the what they called EMR back in those days. Probably dozens and dozens of teachers, special ed teachers. And they, even at that time, a lot of the same complaints. You're witnessing a phenomenon that's just going to continue, in my opinion. All right? So there's no way around it. And if, until and when the schools start giving teachers more authority, teachers are going to be one of the lowest morale groups I ever talked to. By far! The schools have swallowed a whole bunch of nonsense in dealing with behavior problem kids and dealing with disruption in class. And as a result, the teachers are on the front lines and are the most frustrated. Stay right there, Kathy, because I've got something to share with you. This is Dr. Ray. Until Steve and Eric called, it was nothing but ladies who wanted to talk to me. Like, Steve and Eric found out where all the ladies are hanging out, and they just decided to call. You know, it's kind of like when you're in college, ladies' night at some of the places you went to. Well, within about 2 weeks, it was all guys, because the guys found out it was ladies' night. I'm talking to Kathy from Columbus, Ohio. She's a middle school teacher, and she's dealing with a phenomenon that's occurring more and more and more and more, which is, and she is teaching children with special needs, parents who have the attitude of, not my child, it's the world's fault. My child wouldn't do that. As a matter of fact, my child said, Mrs. Greathard, that you were the problem, that you're unfair, that you don't really recognize certain things you need to recognize. Hi, Kathy. Still there?
Oh, you've been in my meetings. Yeah, I think you've been in the meetings, huh?
Yes, my dear. Okay. Now, there's a couple things I wanted to tell you, but I'm not, because I got to save them for a future look-back call. Andrew hates when we do look-back calls that are broken up by the break, because it makes it harder for him to edit them. But that's okay. He can do that because he's good at it.
Okay.
If you're sitting with a parent, here's what I would say. Something like, well, I like Butkus. I don't have too much problem with him. I always tell teachers, you got to be good liars, okay? Because this kid is one big pain. However, here's what I would say. I'd say, I can handle him, but here's what worries me. Some of the other kids are setting him up. They're picking on him, agitating him, and I can stop it when I'm around and I see it. But I'm not around all the time. And I can't see it all the time. And I don't want that to happen to him, so I need your help. Can you help me? Now, most parents... That's brilliant, ain't it?
Yeah, it is brilliant.
I told you. I learned something from those 15 years I was in the schools. About the only thing I learned. Then what I ask them is this. I say, if you can help me get some of this behavior under control, there'll be less for the kids to set up. If he can follow some of these rules a little better, I think the kids will leave him alone. You know, say the kid erupts, or the kid is disruptive in class, and the other kids are taking advantage of that. They're picking on him. They're targeting him as the class bad boy. I don't want that for him. He's better than that. Will you help me? If I send you home reports, can you follow through on some of this and put your authority behind mine, and we'll tamp some of this down, and I'll get after those kids who are trying to set him up. That's your best shot, I think.
That's an interesting approach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gotta paradigm shift it. You gotta make him feel like, okay, You're not complaining about my kid. You're not telling me my kid is bad. You're my kid's ally. And you're telling me you'd like to help my kid. But you really need my help to tone my kid down so that the other kids don't pick on him as much.
It's worth a try.
It is worth a try. It's better. Hey, it's better than what you got now.
That's true. What if I got to lose?
Yeah, that's right. And you know, Kathy, one of my books that's very popular is called Discipline That Lasts a Lifetime. I wrote a lot of that book when I was in the schools. Excuse me. We don't have a cough button here. That's how second rate my studio is. But I talk somewhat about class situations in there because I was getting referrals, of course, from teachers. It's all right. Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for listening, dear. And
I hope you
still agree with me and think I'm brilliant.
I do, and I hope I can use this in a way befitting your brilliance.
I like that, befitting my brilliance. I like the alliteration, Kathy. Thank you. Thank you, dear.
All right.
See ya.
All right, have a good one. All right, bye-bye.
Okay. Eric, Texas. Hi, Eric.
Hi, Dr. A.
Your question's an easy answer, you know that?
Well, I thought it was, but I don't really know exactly the best way to handle it.
Well, you talk about short shorts. I've got a short answer.
Get up and move.
Yeah, you don't let your eyes roam all over the place. You got to watch that one. Yeah, it used to be you had trouble with that when you went to work out. And the ladies were wearing things that accentuated all kinds of curves. And the guys would say, okay, I got to, let me put it to you this way. The guys that guarded their eyes, which was probably one out of 20 in there, if that, would say, okay, I gotta occupy myself with my own working out and not look over that way. However, you didn't think you'd have to deal with that in church, right?
Right.
Okay. Your question, is there anything I can do about this, leads me to my very short answer. No. No, you can't do anything about it regarding them. You can do anything about it regarding yourself. You can say, "Alrighty, I'm not gonna let my eyes wander all over the place right before communion." You know, I mean, and you know that's reality. That is, you know, God designed us a certain way, and He expects us to keep somewhat control on ourselves with His help. So you're right, and I noticed that too. That the higher percentage of dress that is anything but respectful. That's just, it's there, especially the younger girls.
Yes.
The parents allow it, and what stuns me is the dads allow it. I want to say to the dads, okay, do you not understand, guys? Do you have no idea what the average male thinks? Is that what you wish your daughter to prompt in these guys? It's ridiculous. It's no sense of human nature. But there's nothing, Eric, you can do much about it. I mean, the only person who could ever maybe say something would be the priest. He could make suggestions. Most priests don't, by the way, and you know why that is?
No, I don't.
Because they'll quit coming to Mass.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, it's true. You, the days of you have the authority over me to give me guidance and suggestions, and I will consider it, are gone. They're gone. The attitude now is, who are you to tell me what I have to dress like? If that's the way it is, I don't think I need to be here. I think that would be a common attitude of the people who do dress respectfully. They might also respect the priest's authority. But the priest wouldn't have to say anything to them because they're not of the mindset that they essentially are going to dress however they wish to dress, whether it's Mass, whether it's a swimming pool, whether it's working out, it doesn't matter. All right, my friend, thank you for the call. This is Dr. Ray.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Our topics during Cresta in the Afternoon toggle between church teaching and then using that teaching to shine a light on our world. We'll look at Christ and culture, church and world, religion and public life, from abortion to Zechariah and everything in between. Biblical criticism, Hollywood productions, academic debate, family and love, prayer and spirituality.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
I'm Dr. Stan Williams, and this is the logic of Catholicism. Solanus Casey said, "Appreciation is as necessary for social order and harmony as are the laws of gravity for the physical world." Do you ever feel guilty when you do something wrong? Guilt is a natural law of the universe, just like gravity. Gravity reminds us not to do certain things with our bodies without suffering painful consequences. Guilt is the psychological pain we experience after we did something wrong. It's also a warning that we need to fix the problem by finding forgiveness, making restitution, and going to confession. And that's something to appreciate. Today, ask someone to forgive you for what you did wrong, and tell them how much you appreciate feeling guilty and for the right of reconciliation. And that's the logic of Catholicism. Explore more at AveMariaRadio.net. Under resources, look for me, Dr. Stan Williams.
Dr. Ray Guarendi, so glad to be with you. Appreciate the company. Sarah, Wichita, Kansas. Sarah, are you going to that big, huge conference that they're having in a couple weeks there?
I'm not, actually. What conference are you talking about?
There is a monster conference in Wichita. It will be about a week and a half from now, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in the convention center there. Several thousand people. I've had the good fortune to be there a couple times, heading there. And I don't think we won't notice your absence, Sarah. I think there's a number of people who have already said, "Is Sarah coming? She needs it." And I say, "Well, you know, I can't say anything to her." I'm sorry, Sierra. I'm calling you Sarah. It's Sierra. Forgive me, dear.
It happened. I wasn't going to say anything.
How old are you? You sound young.
I am young. I'm 23.
Gee, Christmas, my belt is older than 23. My ball glove is twice as old as 23. You have a comment here. So you want to comment on something that Cindy said, because she asked, how can you make yourself appreciate the little things? And you got an insight on that.
So as for staying like content, you had said like stay connected and thankful, and I just wanted to say that I agree with that. And I feel like if you are connected and content and thankful, but in paying attention, really, paying attention is the biggest thing, because God is constantly trying to speak to us. God has a message to tell you, even if it's something so small and obscure. God's constantly trying to show you that He is there and He is willing to hear you. You just have to pay attention, and it'll make everything in your life will start to correlate, and coincidences become correlations the more you start, I guess, paying attention, like you said. So I just kind of wanted to throw that in there. Because my life has significantly improved.
I was just getting ready to say, it sounds like you're speaking from experience.
Yes. But, yeah, so I just thought I'd chime in and say that.
Well, when you started paying closer attention, and that bred gratitude, what was the first thing that changed for you?
I guess I just realized I wasn't alone. That's probably the biggest thing, because no one's ever going to understand you but God.
Well, I'd like to think I can understand you a little bit, you know.
Yes, you do a great job. Hey, I come from a big family, so you really do.
Well, sweetheart, you got a lot of insight for a young woman your age, and God bless you. I like to think
you've
listened to me a lot, and you've just kind of imbibed stuff that I've said, but that's probably not true. This is probably the first time you've ever listened. But anyway, I do appreciate it. Sierra, thank you, honey.
Well, thank you
for the call. Bye now.
Thanks for answering. Have a great day.
You're welcome. Steve from Mobile. I was just there. Did he hang up? Oh, Steve. All right. Well, I'll deal with Steve's call here anyway. He says, what do you do with a kid? Now, he says kids. A lot of times when somebody asks a question, they make it generic, but they're speaking of a certain particular child. He says, how do you handle kids with bad manners at the dinner table? His 14-year-old son acts like an 8-year-old. Two things hit me here, Steve. Hope it's not food. One, if you got bad manners at a dinner table, then there's a better than 50-50 chance you got bad manners elsewhere. And if you got bad manners elsewhere, you kind of got a lot of bad behavior elsewhere. But this just may be the thing that irks you the most for now. I'd have to know a little bit more about the bad manners. Is it burping without saying excuse me? Is it teasing siblings? Is it eating like a heathen? Exactly what is it? Now, you've probably told him, since he's 14, I'm going to do a little math here, several thousand times to show good manners. In various ways, you've said this. And, of course, none of it's worked. Why? Well, because it's all been words. So I would suggest, as a parent, here's the rule. You have to act a certain way at the dinner table or you leave. That simple. You can either come back when I say you can come back, or you can come back when the food's cold. Or if it's toward the end of dinner and I think you're just kind of causing chaos, then your dinner's over. It's done. That's it. All too often, when there is a repetitive, irksome behavior for parents, we continue to lecture about it, to nag about it, to argue about it, to warn about it, to comment on it. The common denominator in all of that is words. It takes us a long time. It really does. I'll do a monologue on this somewhere down the road. It takes us a long time to realize how ineffective words can be, especially if you've tried it. Many parents will deal with a problem behavior for years, and their primary response to it is words. They think just piling a mountain of words on top of a behavior is going to get the child to eventually get it. No, sometimes those words have to have a backup. And you may have to decide what your backup's going to be, Steve. Dr. Ray, thank you so much for joining me here on The Doctor Is In. I thank Andrew Kruchek, producer man, Eric Dumont, call screamer man, and you, listener people, for calling in. Walk with God, hold your children tightly by the hand, and mind their manners.
For information on Dr. Ray's presentations, books, and CDs, visit DRA.com and follow him on Facebook. The Doctor Is In is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.